Welcome back, everybody. Today's class number four in our series on Bereshit, about understanding a book. And I'll try to summarize what I did last week because we sort of stopped in the middle. And I'm going to try and develop a point which I think is really key, which I think is rarely ever emphasized. I'm not sure if it's right, but I want to share my ideas with you and more than happy to hear critique on it. So let me share my screen. We're right over here. So we are How to Study Chumash One Book at a Time. We renamed the series. Rabbi Jay liked that better. Class number four. And I did a little cute little wordplay. How we go from an Oved Adama to an Eved Hashem. I'll explain the title in a minute. In other words, and the relation between Adam and Adama in Sefer Bereshit. Now, just a review of the key points I've been trying to make. Our approach is we study what's written, not what happened. And once you have that approach, it solves, let's say, all the problems, but half, tons of problems of biblical criticism are solved. Of, of why there's contradictions. Because if the book was written to teach us why we're chosen, or what the purpose of, God making man was, then Chumash is using possibly conflicting stories to develop its message. Now, when I assume everything happened as it's written, I have to figure out what actually happened. Like, it's really complicated. When I assume there's no need to do that, but rather I'm studying what's written because what's written is there to tell me the purpose of God making man and later the purpose of God picking a people, it doesn't make a difference what happened. I'm not saying something didn't happen. I'm saying it did happen. I'm saying I'm studying what's written, and the book that God gave us is to be studied what's written to understand my relationship with God. Now, and therefore, I have two things we talk about. The opening chapters is what does God expect from man? In other words, I don't need to know how God created, why he created, or that he created. I need to know what's the meaning of human life. And I use the story of creation. I hope I tried to show that God wants man to be, I guess, his companion in creation, or his worker in creation, where God makes man in his image. Man's creative and can discern between good and bad. God wants man to be creative. He wants him to reflect and make sure he does what he's doing is right, but he has the ability to do bad. God wants that from man. Later, he's going to choose a nation to be his model nation to how to use their creativity and use it well and learn from their mistakes. Now, that's an overreaching theme, and I want to try and develop that through the whole series. That's my overarching goal for all of Chumash. In other words, there's a reason why God enters a covenant with the people forever, and God cares about all humankind, that universal idea, but he chose a nation to be his model nation, help facilitate all humankind doing good. And the fact that it might not be working in every generation doesn't mean it's not a goal. It means that we have to do better. Now, how to do better? That we argue about, hopefully maturely. Now, and that's the question, is man just part of the animal kingdom? Or is he partnered with his creator? Meaning, when man sits back and perceives his creation, his surroundings, you might think you're part of the animal kingdom. And my proof is a lot of people reach that conclusion. It's a very logical conclusion. Or does he notice he's different than the animal kingdom, even though he's similar? And there must be something special about his uniqueness within creation. And that should get him thinking and recognize through a long process of there must be a creator, and what's that creator want from him? And I want to show you how Chumash develops that thing. And then we talked about how Perek Aleph and Bet are aware of each other. And in other words, like man calling Adam, Adam in Perek Aleph, and only the reasons in Perek Bet. And there's these cross, almost references between Perek Aleph and Bet, even though they're totally different, but they're clearly communicating with each other. I'm going to highlight that today a little bit, and I'm going to use that to develop my key concept in our relationship with God. Are we consumers or employees? I think I've talked about it before, haven't I? But I'll use it for my introduction today, because an employee is an Eved Hashem. And therefore, if we're living as consumers, that's normal human beings who want the best provider. I want food, I want to live a good life, I want pursuit of happiness, and I want the food put on my table, I want to stay healthy. So therefore, there's all these powers of nature, and I need them to be on my team. And therefore, we're consumers, and if I believe in this God, so I might believe in many gods, we'll see, I may believe in one God, but the purpose of my belief in God is so I know where to shop. And that's very different than my belief in God means I'm an employee without God. And the main, of course, I need to stay alive, but my main relationship with God is a companionship. and not just a relationship. It's not God working for me, but me working for God. I think that's a mega theme in Chumash. I think I can prove it to you later from the Siddur. But the idea that we're Avdei Hashem, I think that's a key theme. And I want to try and show you, maybe I'm throwing my hashkafa into the story, but I want to try and show you how that theme develops in Chumash. Okay, that was my introduction. I talked about those topics, now I want to use it, using the word Adama to prove it, to support it. Not to prove it, but to support it.
The second line where you use the word or, why don't you add a third line or both?
Or both, okay. Which one? Employee,
man,
consumer?
Part of the animal kingdom.
Oh, and or, yeah, yeah, okay.
Partner.
You're right. That my whole point is, in the fact that man and animal were created on the same day reflects the fact we're part of the animal kingdom, but the fact they're two different dibors shows that we're different. And then the parallel from day three to day six, that was my whole point of that. That was right over here. That was in day three, the two acts of creation on day three, which has a quantum jump between them from inanimate to life forms, from domain to tzomeach, is parallel to the jump from animal to man, even though it's the same day and they're related, but there's a qualitative difference, almost a quantum difference between the two. Okay, now, I did a quick check on Al HaTorah. The word Adama is only one time in Perek Aleph and Breshit, towards the end, in the end of day six, or the first part of day six. The word Eretz is 23 times. Those, when God talks about land and Eretz, and you know, he calls Yavasha Aretz, land is referred to as Aretz. Adama is one slight mention at the end. In Perek Bet, Adama starts emerging as primary. Now, the fact that man's name is Adam, and God makes Afar me from Adama, that's telling me there's something important about the word Adama. The fact that man, who's a key character, he's the, I guess, the protagonist of Tanakh in God's relationship with man. And man is in the story in Perek Bet, he's made afar from the Adama, and Adama in the story of God's relationship with man in Gan Eden, Adama is going to be a real key theme. Then there must be some thematic reason behind it. So what I want to do in the shir today is show you the centrality of the word Adama in the Gan Eden story. We're in the Yudke Vavke perspective of creation. And then I want to suggest the reason why Chumash is using Adama and how it's setting that up from Perek Aleph and day three in Perek Aleph. Okay? Now, I'll review what I talked about when we talked about creation. The land, remember, the only time when we studied Perek Aleph on day three, we talked about God commanding and executing. Remember, it was par, it was a plan, act, and reflect. Every single Vayomer Elokim, remember, every day began with Vayomer Elokim, with the command, introduced by Vayomer Elokim. God either happens, or it says explicitly God did it. Vayas Elokim, Vayivra Elokim. It's always Elokim doing it. The only time there's a command that the earth does it is on 3b, in the second half of day three, where God says, and says, that the land does it. And the way I understood it is that reflects what we perceive. Because everything in Perek Aleph reflects what we perceive. We perceive a sky, you know, Shemaim and Aretz. We perceive animal kingdom. We perceive the stars in the sky, the sun and the moon, etc. It's reflecting the role that we have in nature. But within nature, it appears that the ground has power. And has power of life and growth. Because you put a seed in the ground, whoop, and it grows. Now, that's amazing in animals as well, but it's easier to see. But the fact that I put a seed in the ground and whoop, weeks later, months later, something grows and then it becomes a tree and gives fruit and all different types of shrubbery and fruit and vegetables and things like that and shrubs. There must be some power in the land, and man needs that power because he's going to eat what grows from the ground. And therefore, don't be surprised that a whole hashkafa, a whole understanding of idol worship develops, because there's got to be a fertility god, and there's got to be a rain god, and we talked about that many times. Now, God wants man to realize that even though it appears that the land has its own power, God created nature to appear like the land has power, but God gave it that ability to have power, just like God gave man the ability to be creative. So man is creative, just like the earth is creative, has a creative power, but that power was a gift from God or was given by God to the land. In a similar manner, man's creativity was a gift God gave to man. Question what he does with it. Now, because of that, I want to show you that Chumash and Perek Bet, which is going to talk about man's special relationship with God or companionship with God, is going to emphasize how man coming from the Adamah, but God doing everything. Okay, so in Perek Bet, so we talked about the idea of day three and the power, fertility in the land, but God's the source of the power. In Perek Bet, man helps facilitate that power, and he's going to be this Oved Adamah. Now, I want to talk about, we'll get to this in a second. I want to show you the beautiful transition from Eretz to Adamah and how Perek Bet ties with Perek Aleph and presents this idea. I started this last week. I want to show it carefully now. So, Ele Todot Shemayim V'Aretz B'Baram, B'Yom Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. Last week, I showed you why some people say this is a summary of Perek Aleph, others say it's the introduction to Perek Bet, and it's exactly both, as you said, and or. Because clearly it's referring to Perek Aleph, but it's introducing the story of Gan Eden. I go from Shemayim Taras there to Shemayim, and God's name now, the Elohim of Perek Aleph, now his name is Yud Kevav Ke Elohim, all the way through. Now, there's two things. We're talking about growth the whole time. So the Chotziach HaSadeh Ter Miyavaretz, there's no growth yet in this story, in this perspective. And nothing's, no grass or no shrubbery is growing at all. For two reasons. Why? Ki lo himtir Hashem Elohim al ha'aretz, va'adam ayin lavod et adamah. I'm going to make a big deal. That's why it's in green. Lavod et adamah. To work the land. That's going to be a phrase that's going to come up over and over again in Bereshit. Now, what's unique about both Matar and Adam, I think, is they both connect Shemayim to Aretz. Now, Matar, I can prove to you. Every time you have the verb Matar, Lamtir, it's always something from Shemayim to Aretz. Remember the story of Sodom we had 2 weeks ago? Vashem Imtir, Mina Shemayim, what was Gofrit, or Barad, or Esh, and Barad, or whatever it was, in the plagues, when Barad comes down, Hashem is Mamtir. When the man comes down, he need mamtir lechem lechem min hashamayim. That's the best proof. Anything precipitating from heaven to earth is always called matar. In the flood story, there's matar coming from the heaven, and there's arubot. There's waters in the Beit HaHom come up from the bottom, and rain comes from above. The two different sources of water, both are involved in the flood. Now, if matar is missing, and man. So this might be alluding to the fact that man also connects heaven to earth, but matar is from heaven to earth, and man is from earth up to heaven. That's, I think, a pasuk in Kohelet, I forget which one number, when a man dies, the guf goes back to earth, and the neshama goes to Shemayim. But the fact that Eretz and Shemayim are working together here is in the introduction. So these two things that connect Shemayim v'aretz are matar and Adam. Now, the mist that comes up to the ground, the Eid Yalem Min Ha'aretz, I think we talked about this last week quickly. I'm not sure. I didn't see this anywhere in the Parshanim. But the only time we have this word mist in Chumash is here, Eid. And that's the first two letters of Adam again. That may be totally by chance, but it's a unique word for this moisture that comes up from the land. And it's Mashkeh D'Pnei Adamah. Again, we're going from Eretz to Adamah. Because the Eretz needs to be moistened, and the Adamah enables something to grow. Then what does God make? Vayitzar Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min Adamah, which is the logic of Zen being Adam, Adam, Adamah. And Vaypach Bavad Nishmat Chaim, Vayidam LeNefesh Chaya. We had a little argument or discussion last week. This neshama in the last pasuk in Tehillim. Remember, Kol HaNeshama Talegiah, hallelujah? Does that mean, does every breath in your nostril, like any breathing sound you make?
That
Or
would
is that
be
your
higher than
neshama?
that.
Is that your soul? Now, if you know, I agree, very good. Look between Nusach Ashkenaz and Sfard. I noticed it this weekend thing in Keladon. Remember? Keladon kol ha'masim, Baruch umfarach v'chi kol
Neshama, all
Nusach
living
Ashkenaz.
creatures.
Yeah, no, in Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, Hanshama. Is
Meaning?
the word Neshama or is the word Hanshama? No, it's v'chi kol Hanshama, is that in every breath coming out of your mouth, Milashin Neshima, Milashin Neshama. I noticed because I usually daven Nusach Sfard, but I had an Ashkenaz sitter, and I noticed when I was thinking Adon Olam, oh, there's a different Nusach. So I think our discussion last week reflects that argument. That was just a cute little point. I don't want to go back to it this week, but I just noticed it on Shabbos. I thought I'd share it with you. Again, there's no big nafkamina, but neshama is for sure we understand neshama is our soul, and it relates to man's uniqueness. But there's something special here about man's creation that goes with his nishmat chayim. Now, what I want to point out now, go back to what we're talking about, is we go from Eretz to Adama and everything coming min Adama. Look at all the actions now that God is doing. How is growth happening? In Perek Aleph, the Eretz, remember, Vatotze Eretz, Deshe Yisrael, the land did it. Look what's being emphasized. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min Adama. God creates man afar min Adama. Then Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Beit HaMikdash. God plants the garden. He puts man there. Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim min Adama, Kol Eitz Nachmad Lamareh, Botov Lamachal, Veitzachem Tov, etc. See, God's doing, there's almost in contrast to Perek Aleph, everything's coming from the Adama, but God's doing everything. I'm just doing it. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim, see all the different verbs? In Perek Aleph, we had, God was always Vayas. Now it's Vayitzer, Vayita, Vayatzmach, and then Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Adama kol chayat hasadeh. God makes all the animals in the field. Again, first he makes man, and then he makes all the things around man. That's the different order in the story. But what's being emphasized, besides the order being different, all the actions are being done by God from the Adama, which means the Adama's ability to give life is everything stemming from the Adama, but God is the one behind it. I think that's important. That's all. In other words, when I'm contrasting this to Parak Aleph, where the land did it, God commanded and the land did it, here we're emphasizing God's doing everything. God's the main force behind things coming from Adama, including man. Okay? Now that that's, I try to show that point, that everything's from the, that we're emphasizing Adama. What does Adam do later in Gan Eden? First of all, man's main job in Gan Eden is lavod et Adama, but it'll be his job also outside Gan Eden. In other words, I'm sorry, let me go back a step. Before Gan Eden, man's job is lavod et Adama, isn't it? Nothing's growing in the whole land. Yeah. No, we didn't get to, God didn't make Gan Eden yet. God makes man outside Gan Eden. Not sure where.
Or you mean before he even created
Yeah,
Gan
that was
Eden?
before, nothing's growing in the land, on all the land. It didn't rain yet, and there's no Adam Avodah Adamah. Then God makes man. After he makes man, then what does he do? Then he plants the Gan Eden Mekedem, and then he puts all the trees in the Gan, right? And then what do you call it? He makes all the animals, but he puts man in the garden. Here, where's the double Shamra? Is here. Vayasem Adam Asher Yatzar, and he put man in there to work it. But the Avodah Adamah comes even before Gan Eden. We'll see in a minute because when he leaves Gan Eden, man will be in Obed Adamah even outside Gan Eden. Now, in Gan Eden, we're emphasizing two things. One is everything coming min Adamah and God
Use
doing
the fifth.
everything,
That
and
would
man being
be.
part of it. And then man giving names to all the animals. I want to make a big deal about man giving names. We talked about that in our Elul series a little bit. I want to clarify it now. In other words, for some reason, when God makes man, I'm sorry, God makes man, it seems to be just man, not Zachar and Nekevah, because we didn't get the Adam and Chava yet. We didn't get Ish v'Isha yet. But he makes all the animals. And in the process of giving names to the animals, or basically naming the species, what does man need to realize? None of them are like him. In other words, God wants man to realize he's different than the animal kingdom. How does God accomplish that in this story? Is that God makes the whole living animal kingdom, besides the Tzomech, he's also make the Olam HaChai. Remember, Kol Chayat HaSadeh V'Chof HaShamayim. He brings him in front of man to see what name he'll give him. And whatever name man gave the animals, that was his name, meaning he's naming species. Not personal names, but names of species. Which means man has the ability to recognize different species. It's part of his thinking ability. But in the search for identifying different types of animals, what does he realize? Nothing is like him. And that's part of his understand that's going to lead him to the understanding of what we call tzedakah.
Menachem, we lost your sound. Menachem, you're frozen.
I think we lost him.
Yeah, I think we did. He'll come back.
Right. Hopefully he signed off with the intent of coming back at the, maybe in a different device.
We are. So my problem happened. Participants, here we go. So Ruth, okay, Ruth, you're the host. Ruth, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We can't see Ruth. You, and your sound is a little choppy.
Okay, now make me go. As I go, we had just had a electricity outage.
Okay, so wait, where
is out
where
of electricity.
Are you? You're still Matan. Okay, I have to.
Go to participants. You're they made you host now.
Yeah.
That's happened last time. It's good to miss you off. Okay.
So
now on you. By your name and participants, there's three dots to the right of your name. Click on that.
More.
And then you can make,
No.
Can make me. Yeah, my name is Emma Tambe Chemish.
All right.
My name is, no.
Wait a minute. I just muted me too. All right, now wait. That.
Oh, we hear you.
Or I see you. Okay, I just moved myself.
I hear you.
Oh no, Asher, then you've got there. Leave him alone.
Okay, we're good. I was my name was Matan Beit Shemesh. Now I'm Menachem.
Yeah, I saw
okay.
The
you probably didn't
keep disappearing. I had you right under.
No,
there,
because I just changed
Menachem.
My name. That's why.
All right, Menachem.
Yeah. Okay.
Make you co-host. Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
Judy, that was usually my button.
Yeah, no. All right, now you're covered.
Oh, now it goes. Okay, good. All right, now do anyone see me? I need to open up
but
the
now
camera
we
now for video.
Your bandwidth is low.
No, I opened up my camera now.
Wait, hold on.
That should be good. Why don't you see me?
It looks like your camera is on, but we can't see you.
I can't see me either. I mean, because it's pitch black in the room. That's why. There's no electricity. My emergency
oh, my gosh. Okay.
You see me, but that's what you see. I'm not here.
That's always okay.
Yeah, I just put my hand over my camera. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, hopefully you can go back on in a minute. Okay. You can share my screen again. Oh, here we go. Okay. Electricity's back. Alrighty.
We see you.
We are.
Why?
Okay, now I mean, it just came back now. No, it just went off again.
Oh my.
It says there are a lot of rockets.
Okay, but I'm still on.
There are a lot of rockets okay. Now being.
That's you.
There's rockets everywhere again? Yeah, it's a bad incident. Okay, we're in, Baruch Hashem is quiet, but the rest of the country is bad. Okay, let me finish that. So let me just review what I was up to, I think. How are we doing time-wise? Okay, we're just half hour left. Now, What I'm trying to explain was, my point was as follows. One of the key goals of for men to realize that even though he's part of the animal kingdom, he's different than the animal kingdom. That was that conclusion we were able to reach in our study of Perek Aleph by describing every act of creation as Vayokim, remember, and then Vayaseh Elokim, and then God reflecting, saying everything being good, and then God making man. The last thing God makes is man, B'tzelem Elokim, with his ability to be creative and reflect on his creative abilities, and hopefully he'll do good. Now, in Perek Bet, I have another version of the story of creation, where I'm emphasizing that this Adama that appeared to have its own power in Perek Aleph, given by God, God is more emphasizing God doing everything from the Adama, and the Adama is a source of all life, but that life coming from God, and it's God giving the Adama the ability to make life, God giving the animal kingdom the ability to recreate it, to reproduce itself, etc. God gave vegetation the ability to reproduce itself and grow. But God wants man, who's going to be his partner in creation, what's called to serve him. God wants man to recognize that even though he's similar to the animal kingdom, he's different. And to help that process of recognizing that despite his similarity to the animal kingdom, he's fundamentally different, he has to give names to all the species. And in my opinion, that's why it's important. We have the story that man is looking for companionship and purpose. In the process of finding companionship and purpose, God shows him all the animals to name them, to realize he's different than the animal kingdom, even though he's similar. And after that's done, then man realizes that he has no companion in the animal kingdom. And then God has man find his companionship within himself in creating the Ish V'Isha and then giving the name Chava. We'll see, man gives a name to, we'll get that pasuk in a minute. And then we're going to see how the theme of name is going to continue throughout Sefer Bereshit. That's what I want to show you now today. So again, let me discuss our conclusions. Man might reach when he works the land about its power, but the source of that power, fertility, comes from God. Now, the big jump on Chumash is going to be, we said that by naming different species, he recognizes he's different than the animals. His need for companionship, not just relationship, but companionship. And man's need for companionship, which relates to finding the idea of having a wife and having a companionship, is going to hopefully relate to his ultimate need to have a companionship with God and find God in his life and his need to have companionship, not just a relationship with God, but also a companionship with God, being in his service. The idea being in an Eved Hashem. Now, if I continue the story of Gan Eden here, now there's no, let's see, my still works. There's still no electricity, but this should work. I should move my screen up somehow. Oh, okay, now I know what happened. Okay, that's good. Here we go. Okay, so let's continue the psukim about after God has man give all the names, okay? And then we have the famous story that he sins, correct? Now, look at the punishment of man. Uladam amar, ki shamata l'ko ishtecha, betocha min eis asher tibiticha. That's, yeah, that. Arura adama bavorecha, bitzvon tochalenu koi mechalecha. Man's sin leads to the earth being cursed. Now, what's going to happen now? Man can still grow things, but it won't be so easy. Remember, we get thorns growing and things like that. And we'll have to eat, we're still going to eat what grows on the field, but it won't grow so perfectly. It's called Bezeh Tapecha Toch Alachem, until you return to the Adama, Kimeno Lekachta, Kiafar Ba'afar Tashuv. Now, what's important for me here is that the theme of Adama is already before God makes, when God makes man first, before he puts him in Gan Eden, there's a theme of Adama in Gan Eden, and then Adama when he leaves Gan Eden, because his job is still Avodat Adama, we'll see. But because he doesn't listen to God, the land is cursed. Now, someone tell me, where else in Chumash do we have this idea that if you follow God, the land is blessed? If you don't follow God, the land is cursed.
Oh,
do you remember that anywhere in Chumash? Where?
Second parak of Kriyat Shema.
Exactly. It's on the source sheet also. But perfect. Now, and is the word Adama or Eretz? Start mumbling to yourself. What's the word in Kriyat Shema? Vayim Shmoa, I'll show you.
Adama.
It's Adama, of course it is. I'll show you. Let me just share my screen real fast. I was so happy I had my desk back and everything back to normal. Now I still have to work on a. Let's go share. Here we go. Now find my chumash again. Here we go. We don't want post attendee. We want to find a chumash. Here we go, Brishit. We want Devarim.
Is to say everything out loud except for those psukim.
No, where... even the good psukim we have. One second. Bible, Deuteronomy. Let's see if it's still here. Chapter 11, right? Okay, this we all know by heart. Vayav, chapter verse 13. I didn't even put it on the source sheet. Okay, Vayim Shmot Yishma Mitzvotei Hashem Lechem Mitzad Chayom. To love God, Ulovdo. See that Ulovdo B'chol Lovavchem Chonav Shechem. Okay, to Netam Mitzad Tzchem Biito Yom Makosh. V'yasav To Yimefi Teroshcha Bitzarecha. Okay, everything will grow beautifully. Be careful, Petivtel Lovavchem, and you serve other gods. River, God will be angry. But Sarat Hashemayim No Matar. Got it. Doesn't it go back to Gan Eden? That's what I'm trying to show you. Remember, my whole goal was to show you there's a theme that connects all five books together. And the creation story is a setup to understand Chumash. The Gan Eden model is a setup to understand the land of Israel. But that idea that God wants man to be creative, but and man is in the service of God, and how well the Adama works for man. It's not a function of many gods or fertility gods or Asherah or Baal, etc., but rather it's a function of his moral behavior, not of his beliefs, but based on his moral behavior, keeping the laws of Sefer Dvarim, which are the laws of Matan Torah. Then the Adama reciprocates by giving its produce. If you don't listen, the Adama will throw you out, won't give its produce, and therefore you won't survive on the land. And then, therefore, you know, learn these laws, etc., and teach them. And then, why leman yivui mechem v'yimechem al ha'adama, not the aretz here, but adama asher nishma Hashem al batechem et lehem kimei ha'shamayim al ha'aretz. Isn't it go back to the Gan Eden story? Shemayim ba'aretz in the beginning, and adama, and being, it's the Gan Eden model in the Shema. I just wanted to point out, because we say Shema every day, but to appreciate how important the Shema is we need the Gan Eden story to appreciate it. Okay, now, and then God says, if you keep all the mitzvot, then God will help you conquer the land, and you can set up the nation. That's already the thing, and not to mention the bracha and klala. If you keep my mitzvot, no, keep my mitzvot, which will be a theme all through Devarim. Now, let me stop that share and go back to the source sheet. Where are we? Share. Oh, well, as long as I have Sefer Devarim open, one last thing. In chapter 28 in Devarim, which is the Tochacha, the first line of 28. If you follow my laws, that'll happen. You'll get all the blessings. All your things will be blessed. Your produce will be blessed. You'll defeat your enemies. You'll get the bracha and everything you're growing. Then God will make you an Am Kadosh, Vashem, because like He promised you at Har Sinai, if you walk in His ways, and then all the nations will see that you're here. Baruch Kol Me'ya'aretz, here's where we're going to go right to. Now you can see me, hopefully, now. Wait a second, my electricity's back on again. There we go. There we are. Hope it's back on. What happened here? Okay, we got electricity back. And now I can go to my screen. Here we go. Okay, so again, now I can go slowly. I hope you share my screen. So if you follow my laws, etc., if you follow my laws, keep the laws of Devarim, setting up that just society that Devarim talks about, all reflecting the Ten Commandments and the covenant we make at Har Sinai, all the blessings will come to us. We'll be blessed in our produce, Fiyad Matech, etc., Fiyad Bentech, etc. And God will give what God will defeat our enemies in battle, etc. And God will bless every profession we take, whatever we're doing. And then here's the theme of Har Sinai. Yikim Hashem lo la'am kadosh kasher nishba alach. On the condition we keep his mitzvot, balach the bidrachav. Then, Rokol me'erz kishem Hashem nikrai lecha v'yeru mimecha. Okay? God's name or reputation will be associated with us, and they'll come to respect this or fear us out of respect, not out of physical fear, but out of respect from the way we're behaving. Well, now, this idea, what I want to connect is the idea of shame, God's name and reputation, and this theme of what's the source of all growth and what God expects man to do with his creativity. Okay, there's a question real quick.
Yeah. I'm if this is a topic, but I'm not sure of is that a difference in the word art and adama. I mean,
perfect. I'm going to give you an example of the word adama, how it comes up in this context quite often. That's just in Gan Eden. We'll get to it in exactly about 7 minutes. We'll get there in the Cain and Hevel story. We'll see. I'll give you a spoiler. Remember Egla Rufa? Isn't that a murder story? Now, what's the first murder story in Chumash? Cain and Hevel, right? So we're going to see the theme of Adama and Cain and Hevel, because what was Cain's job? Cain was an Oved Adama. Many laws and devarim ki tavol el ha'aretz, etc. But in the first line of the opening story of Egla Rufa, what's it say? Ki matzei chala ba'adama. If you find a dead body in the adama that God's giving you. So in other words, when it comes to Egla Rufa and a murder story, we're going to get to the word adama again. Okay, so let me go back to my source sheet now and we can finish up. Okay, so again, I'm trying to show you that's the wrong source sheet. That is the right source sheet. Okay, the theme of Adama between, one man has to realize he's different than animal. God gave him the ability to be creative. And the creativity of land is coming from God, and therefore there aren't many gods. There's only one God. God made man to do good, to be creative, and to use his creativity properly. And God wants man not only to be good, but God will tell you, God will reciprocate. For good behavior, the land will be blessed. If bad behavior, the land will be cursed. And therefore, instead of turning to other gods when you need the land to give its fruit, you turn to the one God who gave the land that ability, but that God blessed the land based on your moral behavior. And that's going to be, in my opinion, one of the mega themes of Chumash. And if other nations see a correlation between a nation building a just society and the land being blessed, and a nation not fulfilling that goal and land being cursed, if other nations see that, that'll show an association between good behavior and being associated with the one God who blesses land, as opposed to serving gods by bringing them to sacrifices to get the land or all these different powers to give their, like, classic idol worship. Now, at the end of the, so we had the story of man goes back to land after he sins, but land doesn't grow as good. Now that man sins, now it's going to be a challenge all the time. And what's interesting, after man gives names to the animals, he gives a name to his own wife. He calls her Chava because she's the mother of all living things. Again, has to do with life and fertility, man's ability to see that. And then, of course, they have clothing, which differentiates, remember, clothing differentiates man from animal, doesn't it? So now we have clothing for man. He's outside Gan Eden. But if he can live forever, he's too much like God. My man has to be moral, like part of the animal kingdom. Now, here's the best line. Pasach Chav Gimel and the end of Per Gimel. Vayishalchi Hashem Elohim migan Eden, labod et adama ashur lukach misham. Isn't it interesting when God first made man? Va'adam ein labod adama. But after leaves Gan Eden, he's still being an Oved Adama. So a lot of modern-day Parshanim, I think Rav Sama talks about this, and I'm from modern-day Parshanim, understand Eden as a growing, like an adolescence or growing up. That's man. God put man in Gan Eden. Basically, it's a process you have to go through to become a mature adult. But they compare Gan Eden to a child growing up, like a one-year-old, it's not aware of Tov and Ra, not aware of being naked. Basically, in little by little, with his understanding of good and bad, comes the understanding of nakedness and his need for clothing. But that's all share that a lot of people have on that Gan Eden wasn't made to be there forever, but rather to to grow up into becoming an adult or a regular human being. But that's, again, a different topic. Now, I want to talk about the word Adama now in Perek Dalet. Everyone knows there's lots of parallels between Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet, between man's sin in Gan Eden and Kain's sin outside Gan Eden. A lot of textual parallels, a lot of thematic parallels. I just want to pick on one of them. And the idea of, now that Chava is Eim Kol Chai, Adam and Chava will have a child, his name is Kain. Now everyone knows the lopsided story between Kain as the key character and Hevel sort of a, just on the side. So what happens? Adam knows his wife Ishtai, gives a child, then Kain, and says, I own the child because I made it with God. There's a partnership, but remember, Chava is 90%, God's 10%. It's, I made him, I own him because I made him. Now, then she has his brother Hevel. We don't know the reason for the name. But what's Kain's job? Kain is an Oved Adama, which should be good. That's why God made man. Now, there's an argument whether it's better to be a farmer or a shepherd. That goes all through Chumash, the two ancient professions of man. And again, this is domesticating wheat, and this is domesticating animals. And those are all the beginning of human civilization. Now, after all the time, remember, Kain brings a present to God from Mipri Hadamah again. Don't be surprised. God doesn't accept it because, and God tells him, you can't buy God. Remember, Im Tetiv said, if you behave properly. Because you can't buy God with your presence. You can only buy God with your good behavior. If you behave properly, God will accept your presence. If you don't, he won't. So I can think the idea that you can't buy God through sacrifices, there's nothing wrong with bringing a present to God that reflects your relationship.
You're frozen.
Still online?
Okay. You were frozen a bit. Now you're back.
What? Now I'm back. Yeah, the electricity just went off again. This isn't good. Today's the first day we had a big rainstorm. Oh, here, now the video's back on. Okay, I'm probably... Oh, now the electricity's back on again. Okay. I guess I need a generator. Now I have to go back to a different camera. Okay. My other camera and my other... Okay, and get back to my microphone. Okay, that's better now. Now we're back on? I wonder if I'm still co-host. I guess so. I can still share my screen. Okay. And what are we up to now? share my screen again. Here we go. Back to our source sheet. Okay, here we are. Now, what happens? When God talks to Kain, what did you do? And therefore, do you see the similarity between Cain's punishment and Adam's punishment? What do they both share? That your bad behavior is going to cause the Adama not to be working so good for you. You're still going to work the Adama, but it won't be so easy. Now, man needs Adama to give its fruit, doesn't it? Otherwise, he can't survive. He needs the land to give its produce. And what did ancient man always think? I need that fertility God. I need the nature gods on my side. How do you get them on your team? You bring them sacrifices. That's what ancient man did. And now the same thing with the rain god. What's Chumash alluding to in all these stories? That there's one god in charge of all the powers of the Adama, but it's based on your behavior and not on your sacrifices and your presence. It's already starting in the Kain and Hevel story. And now it's, I saw you in the Kain and Hevel story. But notice the word Adama, it's so central. The Perek Dalet, isn't it?
The word. Can I say something? The word Dmei, you know, like Dam also comes from Adama. So you have Adama, and you have Dam. So I don't know what they looked at. I don't know, the ancient people or the ancient cultures looked at Dam as a essence of life or something like that. But it obviously is connected. And then, if he spilled the blood on the earth, the blood went back to Adama, and then the blood is screaming.
Yeah, that's going to be exactly Egla Rufa, isn't it? In Sefer Dvarim.
Right.
Yeah. As I tell my students, I'm saying, whenever they bring that comment about noticing the word Dam is from Adam, I always say that's a very dumb, that was a dumb comment.
I've always
my,
wondered,
my stupid puns. Okay.
Rabbi, I've always wondered why God didn't accept, you would think he would accept from Adama rather than sheep or, you know, because that was God's, God said that's what people have to do. They have to work the land. So you'd think that he would accept the.
Yeah, but now it makes sense. That was the way I'm explaining it. It'll make sense now why Chumash is fighting that. I can't buy God with a present. Im teitiv seit. If you pay, if remember the word tov, by erdim kitov, im teitiv seit. God will take your present if you do good. Now, don't be surprised that in Sefer Dvarim, what's the very last mitzvah? Bikurim, remember? From the Adama. And what's your thing? Remember? V'samachta b'cholato, v'ashnatan lecha Hashem elkecha, l'veitecha. But v'lechachtam ser mipri Adama. Remember? And you bring from mipri Adama, you bring your first fruits to God. It doesn't say that. I'm pretty sure it's Adama, not Aris, if I'm not mistaken. Now, we thank God for the land he gave us, for the Aris, but they think you take from pri Adama. Now, but notice that the theme of the land being cursed because of bad behavior is common to Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet, and man Shab still is Adama, but it's going to be a challenge now, because now that things can also grow bad, we can have Kotz V'Dadar, and the land is cursed. So that's going to be, you know, man can reach the long, he'll need the land, but he'll look for different tricks how to get the land to work for him. He's going to try idol worship. And God's trying to show you that's not going to make a difference. No. Now then, so here in Egla Rufa, I just quoted the pasuk, "Ki matzei chala ba'adama she'Hashem elokecha notein lecha l'rishta nofel basadeh." And then we have again, as who mentioned that point, Dror,
right?
Yeah, you mentioned about there also v'nechaper le'madam. Remember in Egla Rufa, the word "dam" is key in that story as well. Okay, now remember, like ya'adenu lo shefu et adam hazeh. The word dam and adama go nicely there. Now, what shouldn't surprise us? The flood is over, and what happens? What does Noach do? Noach's going to be in Ish Adama, isn't he? Now, he's going to plant a vineyard, he'll make wine, but something bad comes out of it. It could be good or bad. See the idea of Tov and Ra? Wine is classic. But before then, why was Noach named Noach? I'm sure you've seen this before, is that Lemech names his son Noach, why? Noach is the first child born after Adam Rishon died. If you calculate all the years, Lemech, when he was born, Adam was still alive. When Noach was born, Adam was already gone. And maybe the curse is over. Remember, because God told Adam, the land will be cursed. So they're hoping that Noach will make things better. Did Noach make things better? I guess not. I mean, he was okay, but he didn't do much for his surroundings. And then the whole flood comes. And then, and then we have the same thing. And then what I want to show you is that in order to get this point across, that God is in charge of the land, but the land giving its fruit is a function of man's deeds, that's going to be one of the underlying reasons why God picks a nation. That's why the nation needs to have a land. That's why the nation has to have a tochacha. And there has to be a clear correlation between our behavior and the produce of the land. And that's why, that'll explain why there's such centrality in praying for rain and praying for produce. And that's why Shema is so central in our prayers. Now, and here I mentioned the second parasha, Kriyat Shema, and the psukim we mentioned before in chapter 28 in the Tochacha. Now, in light of this is going to take us into our biggest theme now. How do we go from this to God picking Avram Avinu? And the key theme is going to be the idea of shame. Now, I developed this when we did our Hashem Elokim series. I touched on this a little bit. I want to use that now as my starting point to do the transition from the creation stories and the universal stories, you know, ending with the flood and Migdal Bavel, and God picking Avram Avinu. Where's the theme begin developing? At the end of Perek Dalet, there's a strange sentence which doesn't make sense. Because if you look at Perek Abdalad, I'll just review what we did before. There's perfect literary Dalad ends and ends. Begin. I hope it's clear on the screen. Man knows his wife, has a child, there's a name for the child, and it's about who owns the child. Chabad says, I made him. Okay? And then his brother Hevel, then the story of the first murder. And then at the very end, we get Lemech again, giving names. This is Lemech naming, not Lemech, Noach's father, Lemech, the sixth generation from Cain. And notice he's giving names that make up for Hevel. Remember, he's Yaval. Remember, Hevel is Hey Bet Lamed. So he's Yaval, Yuval, and Tuval. Cain, got that? And each one is going to be very creative, isn't it? This one, Yaval, is Avi Yosheb Ohom Mikneh. He's the expert in domesticating animals. Yuval is the expert in music, super creativity. And Tuval Cain, he's already going to make industry, metal industry. See how creative they are? That's unique to man's Tzelem Elokim. Are they going to do it for good or bad? And obviously, it's going to turn to bad, isn't it? Because that's going to lead to the flood and man's bad behavior. And then he gets, remember, he's Lemech, what do you call it? He's so proud that he killed somebody and he can get away with it, makes a song about it. Isn't it cute that he like makes up a song, Emperor Lemech, and his, what do you call it? One of his kids is a musician. It's just so cute. We have a musician and we have a guy where he taught his father how to make lyrics. Okay. It's such a beautiful rhyme. It's just the same as such a bad topic. Okay. Now, and I can get away with it. No, I kind of got away with it. I'll get away with it. Now. What's perfect closure of the story? Right? Cain and Hevel didn't work out so good. And therefore, Adam said, let's try another kid. Just like the way at the beginning, Adam Yada had a child and this and this. And now, who gets the credit for the child? Instead of Chava taking the credit, what does she say? Now, God gets the credit. And his name is Shet because God gave me this child. But it's in response to what happened between Cain and Hevel. If the parak ended with Pasach Chafei, it's perfect closure, isn't it? That's like the blue to the blue. You see the thing? And if Pasach Chafav wasn't here, no one would say anything's missing. That's my whole point. Pasach Chafav is out of nowhere. Hope it's clear. Okay. Of course, we just mentioned Shait. So Shait also had a child. His name is Enosh. Fine, we're going to find out about that in the next chapter. But after we have Enosh being born, what are we told? As I mentioned, this is a cliffhanger in Chumash. It leaves the reader open mouth. What's going on? Remember, there's a topic here that just began out of nowhere, not connected in any way with the story. Agreed? And impossible to translate because I showed you in all the translations, does Rucham mean they began or Rucham mean they began to profane? Remember, Chazal say it's profanity. We began, that's Chazal say, remember what Chazal say? Rambam and Hilchot, I should have brought it down. Rambam Hilchot Avodah Zarah, the opening line. Bimei Enosh, man began idol worship. Because Rambam says, when did idol worship begin? In the time of Enosh. Means it's connecting this story to idol worship. But that's my whole point. This story is the beginning of idol worship. Why? Because once the land is cursed, remember? And man needs land to grow and doesn't always grow all the time, man's searching how to get land to work for him. And who's he turned to? To other gods, especially fertility gods, and the whole pantheon of gods.
Why would they say that? Why would they say that? If Pasuk Hey, it says Kishat li Elokim Zeracher, and right after it says Azuchal lekro b'shem Hashem, it means there is a connection. You know, if she realized that you know, like God gave her you know, like another son, then that son recognized it. So I don't understand why it has to go negative.
I agree with you. That's why most parshim say it's good. They start to recognize God, that's good. But in my life experience, I've seen many children who don't follow their parents so well and go off the derech, correct? So the fact the mother should have realized it, but it took a long time till she realized it. It might take Enosh a long time. But again, it might be not Enosh himself, but during his lifetime, it began. Now, why does Chazal understand it has to be something negative? Because that's the last story before the flood. After Azuchal, we have the 10 generations to Noach and the flood story. And we'll see in a minute. There's no doubt after this point, civilization goes downhill. That's for sure. And therefore, something must have gone wrong. And therefore, they don't call it Netikat Stein properly. And what we did on our Hashem Elohim series is, this is still a cliffhanger. I don't appreciate what it means to call it in God's name until that's what Avram does for a living. Remember Avram's Korei B'Shem Hashem, Hodu L'Shem Kiru B'Shmo, that's what we do. That's Pesukei Zimra, that's our religion pretty much. That's why Shem is so central in our davening. And we'll see later, that's why Noach is going to name his son Shem. Because he wants him to call it in God's name. But this is a transition in setting the stage for God picking a nation later on, Asuchal Likro B'Shem Hashem. It sounds like I'm kvetching, but as we go through it, we're going to see how central the theme will be in Chumash. I'm going to prove to you that calling out in God's name is key in Avram's life and in Yitzchak. It's key all through Sefer Devarim, HaMakom HaShev HaShem HaShekhin Shmo Sham. It's critical why is Noah calling us on shame. It'll be critical in the Migdal Bavel story. It's all through our Siddur, especially in Kaddish and Kedusha, etc. You can't miss that thing I showed you in Devarim, Baruchot Ki Shem HaShem Nikra Elecha. And once shame is a mega theme in our Siddur, in our davening, in the life of Avram Vinu, and in many of the mitzvot we have later in the land of Israel, especially relating to our Mikdash and our national symbol, I'm assuming that this line is part of its Chumash setting the stage for God picking a nation to give over Chumash's main message. That's what I want to get across today. So, but I want to point out from a literary point of view, this line is unique. And this phrase, especially, Asuchal Likro B'Shem Hashem, is building up to something in the time of Enosh. But it's the conclusion of the Cain and Hevel story, which is Cain the first murder, but Cain he's an Ish Adama, he's Oved Adama. And his punishment, God doesn't accept his present because of his bad behavior. And that's what God tells him in Tetiv Seit, Imlo, the Petach Atat Ravetz. His kids sort of go off the Derech. Got it? Remember, six generations later, he's got a guy committing murder and singing about it, etc. The land is cursed, and then this is going to lead to the flood story. Now, later we have all the generations from Shay to Enosh. We're going to find about Enosh later on. But notice in Perek Hey, we go back to the theme of Perek Aleph, back to Elohim creating, B'dmut Elohim, with Sechar Nekeva, etc. And God named man Adam, Biyom Hibaram. Isn't that tying Perek Aleph and Bet together? God makes man in Perek Bet, Afar Min Adama. And now we're told that when God made man in Perek Aleph, the Bro Elohim Adam, B'dmut Elohim, remember, B'tzamo B'dmuto, it's a kind of, this Mamish Perek Aleph, isn't it? But God gave man his name, Adam. Okay. Now, back to thing. So what did we see? I want to follow, this is introducing what we're going to do next. In days 1 through 3, remember, God names everything. The first half of creation, God names every day. Shema, day and night, and Shemaim Ba'aretz, etc. Then in Perek Bet, God challenges man to assign names to the animals. And man names, Adam names Chava himself. And ultimately, the process of naming different species, ultimately man will make a name for God by analyzing nature and seeing the connection between the beauty of nature and there must be a God who made it. Now, we contrasted the reason for naming Cain over Sheth, theme of Adama and Shem, all the way through there. Talk about the end of chapter 4, the strange name of Hashem. Then, at the end of the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, Lemech names Noach, right? With the hope that the curse will be over. And then Noach is going to name his shame, his son Shame, remember? Which can't be by chance. Okay? And when the story's over and Noach is the Ish Adama, right? Plants his vineyard, gets drunk, and things go bad. When it's over and he comes sober, what's he realize? He blesses God, the God of Shame. Because what's going to fix this is someone making a name for God. When the flood's over, mankind disperses, comes back together, but man tries to make a name for himself with his industrial revolution building the city. And then in light of that, God picks Avraham Avinu and begins his career of calling out in God's name. So that's why, again, we have to do all this properly. What I wanted to do today was the transition from the creation stories to the story of God picking Avraham Avinu. And I think what I'm trying to identify, there's a mega theme in Chumash. I need to understand not only what God wants from man, primarily what does God want from Am Yisrael. God wants a nation that showing that other nations see, and the other nations need to see a correlation between good moral behavior and the land being blessed. You follow? And therefore, when we pray for rain and prosperity, it's not because we're consumers. It's because we're employees for God. And the way we serve God is by being an example of a correlation between good moral behavior and our land being blessed. And almost in a strange way, we can sanctify God and being punished when we're not behaving properly. That we'll see that in Parshat Nitzavim. It says it explicitly. Remember, the nation will say, how come God's punishing us so harshly, out of proportion? Because we didn't keep his breed properly. But the idea that this idea of being an Eved Hashem, in other words, man by nature, he's an Oved Adama. And Am Yisrael is going to be part of nature, and therefore we're Ovdei Adama. But in our Avodat Adama, we have become Ovdei Hashem. By doing what? We have to work the land. Remember, Torah Avodah. I'll begin my B'nai Kiva speech. But the way we serve the land, what we do with the produce that we make, the way we build our society, that's how we sanctify God, and therefore we become Avdei Hashem. Again, and we're not serving God to get good produce. We're getting God to give us good produce as a function of our deeds to give that message to mankind, and that's how we call it in God's name. It's a little complicated, but I think, but I'm touching on a mega theme in Chumash, which if it's right, it basically explains everything else that's going to happen, why God's giving us a land, and why the land has a lot of visibility between centers of civilization, and why there's such an emphasis on all the tochachot. There's tochachot everywhere in Chumash, isn't there? But this correlation between good behavior and the land being blessed, and fighting idol worship, and the idea of calling out in the name for God, I want to show you how Chumash develops that theme all the way from Bereshit. And that's the idea. Again, it's a relatively new idea, but I think I'm more than happy to hear critique on it. But I think it's something worth pursuing.
It's always interesting because they always say that only Am Yisrael has been able to make the land in Eretz Yisrael flourish, not previous conquerors. Like the Negus flourished, and under the British it didn't, and under the previous.
Yeah, that's the oldest science. But basically, for very geological, because of the climate. Because we're located between Egypt and Mesopotamia, they have the big rivers. It's only natural that either Egypt or Mesopotamia wants to control Canaan because of the trade route. And only that there's a logical reason why no other country becomes its own country in the land, because our location is too important. You understand?
Right. That's why it's a crossroads. It's port, yeah, but on the crossroads, the
therefore everyone produce. Wants a piece of that. Every superpower wants it. And our whole history, our biblical history, we're fighting. Are we going to align ourselves with Babel or Ashur or Aram or with Egypt? Remember, Malach HaDerech Mitzrayim, Malach HaDerech Ashur. And God's always saying, remember that's Yishayahu telling him, don't go either way. Follow God. Remember? Allah, Me'ashilach Hochim La'at. And put your trust in God, but based on your good behavior.
But that happens.
That doesn't produce. The land doesn't produce.
Yeah, the land is our barometer for how we're doing.
The desert.
Excuse me?
Right.
Rabbi Liebtag, wondering, is there any significance to when we make brachos, we say, Borei Pri Adama or Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we discussed that before. But
oh, I'm sorry. I guess that's
fine. No, it's good to point it out. That's so important because.
Because I feel like.
It's day three.
It's so important in Judaism. Like, why don't we say Adama in that bracha?
Yeah. So in the Gan Eden story, on day three, God clearly differentiates between Adama and Eitz. On day six, when God makes man, only man eats Eitz and Adama. Animals get Yerek Esev. And therefore, remembering this theme, that God is the creator of all the powers of fertility and growth and nature. But by distinguishing between Bereshit and Pri Adama, that's the same process of God giving names to this man, God challenging man to name the species. The ability to study nature and recognize the difference in different species in nature slowly leads man to recognize there's got to be a God who made the system.
Now, I'm talking about haaretz, like the wheat that we make.
Yeah, now domesticating wheat is unique to being human. That's part of your tzelem elokim. Only humans make wheat. Only humans domesticate animals. And only humans make wine. And therefore, to remember that God gave us Betis B'Tzelem Elokim, on Shabbat, we make a special blessing on wine and special blessing on bread. Remember, a special blessing on and we have cooked meat if you're not a veggie.
But that doesn't explain the difference between Adama and Eretz. And then if God chose Abraham, he sends him to Eretz. He doesn't send him to Adama.
Oh, no. So the word Eretz, even in Gan Eden.
So I can't, I'm really not following the difference that you make between Adama and Eretz. I guess I'm not.
Okay, I'll try to explain. In English, one is, Eretz, I think, is a land and Adama is ground. Is that right? If you translate
Eretz,
it,
would
ground,
be country, land. Maybe yeah. Country.
What Eretz, I'm saying yes. is that the both words are interchangeable. That's for sure. I can say Eretz, I can say Adama, you wouldn't notice the difference in regular Hebrew.
Right. No,
the Adama Shelanu is the Eretz Shelanu. It's the same. Admat Kodesh, Eretz HaKodesh. They're right. Almost synonymous. But there's no doubt in Perek Aleph, Eretz is central, and Adama is central in Perek Bet. But the word Adama is the whole idea of man's Oved Adama. Okay? And that's why God makes man. But through his Avodat Adama, he has to recognize God gave him that power to be creative, and God gave the Adama the power to be creative. And therefore, whenever we're focusing on the relationship between God and our behavior, Adama will be key.
But according to that, then the comment that the lady made before, it should have, because the man is working Adama, it should have been a mutzi lechem min Adama, not min haaretz, according to what you're saying.
That's a class on the man. That's lechem min haaretz is because of the man story.
It's a Tanakh. I mean, the Tanakh says mutzi lechem min haaretz, and a Tanakh says pri ha'adama. So we are simply following the way. All tefillot try to use Tanakh language as preferable. Without, in other words, if that's the way the Tanakh says it, then that's the way we're going to say it, period. And you don't have to sit there and do mental hoops and anything else to figure out why.
I don't think.
Okay, it's fine. I'm saying I could, if it said break, I'm going to say, I mean, Adama would be fine. But when we do the man story, you'll see why it says, because it's, as opposed to
okay.
But that's a whole long thing. Again, that's not in Chumash. That's a rabbinic add-on. I'm saying, but the rabbis are on to the idea that man domesticating wheat and man domesticating animals is a giant chiddush. It's unique to being man. And that reminds us of our Tzelem Elokim. Let me just check the chat real fast and finish up. Sorry about the, what do you call it? I can't control thing, ash's residue. Oh, ash. Okay. By the way, the theme of Afar and Efer, wait till you get to Paraduma. You thought Paraduma didn't make any sense. Remember? The Efer becomes Afar, yeah, from the Aduma, right? Which relates to death. You know, then you can't, once you understand this, with all respect to Shlomo Melech, but Paraduma, having a ritual with Afar min Aduma, when you're in contact with death and life and water being the symbol of life, and especially Mayim Chaim, and mixing Afar with there's got to be something going on there that makes sense. Might not have an obvious reason, so it's a chok, but it's definitely there's logic behind it. Okay. Eretz is land, but Adama is ground. Okay, very good. Joyce, Rabbi Sachs points out Adam gave his wife the name only after he was kicked out of Gan Eden. Okay, I'm not sure whether, I'm not going to argue with Rabbi Sachs. But that statement is written after he's out of Gan Eden, but it might be a postscript. You follow? But because God, when it's only in chapter 5, we find out that God named man Adam. Remember? But God named Adam beforehand. But sometimes you have a statement later on that might have happened earlier, but it might be a postscript. You understand my point? That doesn't mean that, I'm not sure whether it, what Rabbi Sachs is saying is that
Jeffrey Sachs.
Chumash makes a deal about God calling Adam, his wife, his name after he's thrown out of Gan Eden, but it could be that he named him once he had children. There's a big argument, when did they have children, inside Gan Eden or outside Gan Eden? There's a big argument between Jews and Christians whether you can have children in Gan Eden or not, or the ability to have children only happened after Gan Eden, but that's already with original sin and how you view marriage and things like that. That's out of my scope. That's more a class on philosophy. I try to stay away from that. Okay, why it's happened to Hebel, Corbin accepted, okay. Maybe, what do you call it? Hebel was a good guy, and he was mistreated maybe, but no, I need a reason why Corbin's not accepted, not why it is accepted.
Well, they say it was inferior product.
The question that Noreen asked, Why is Hevel's Korban not accepted? There's a book about it called Kohelet, isn't there? Havel Havelim Amar Kohelet, Hakol Hevel, right? And you know what? The good guy, the bad guy, we all end up. We all go back to the afar. We all go back to the land, right? And there's no difference between a Rosh Hashanah and a Tzaddik. So just live your life and, you know, enjoy it. I'm sure that Kohelet is a commentary on the Kain and Hevel story. On the questions that come up from the Kain and Hevel story. Because life, remember, in a fairy tale, Hevel would be fine. But for some reason, it's not fair that Hevel dies, but it's Kain's fault, not God's fault. Remember that old question, who do you blame evil on God or on the bad people? So people do bad things. Okay, anyway, that's a philosophical question. And he invents the plow. Okay, that's cool. That's, but I think it says plow. Wait, did I get that? Yeah. The Machrisha, that's really neat. That's already, why Chazal say that Hevel invented the plow, right? I think he was referring to, who invented the plow in Chazal?
Yeah, Noah.
That's Noah, right. The plow. Noah. That's right, yeah. Because he's, which means man begins to domesticate wheat.
If you take the model and you try apply it to the rest of not even Chumash but Tanakh, I think you have a problem.
Oh, that's for sure, because you don't see the correlation.
And the problem, but I want to be more specific, okay? There are two times when the people were Abram is forced to leave the Adama when he goes to Mitzrayim, and then Yosef, then Yaakov is forced to leave because of the Adama, because when he goes to Mitzrayim. So I can see that you can say that Yaakov left because of Yosef, because of the sin with the brother. But why did Abraham leave? But if you go later in Tanakh and you see when Yisrael is driven out, it's not driven out by the land, it's driven out by armies, like after the first temple and after the second temple. It's not because the land isn't productive, it's because armies come in and defeat them. So how do you fit all of that?
Yeah. So just in a nutshell, that's a whole long topic, but that's Isaiah, Yirmiyahu, and all the prophets. In a nutshell, how God throws us out of the land, God has different tools. He can bring a famine and we have to go out, or he can use armies. So what's Yishayahu say? Hoya shor shevet api. Yishayahu says our moral behavior was disgusting, and therefore God brought Ashur to punish us because we didn't get the message. But we leave the land, but it doesn't say you'll leave the land because of a famine. You'll leave the land either because of famine, or God will kick you out of the land, but God might bring an army to kick you out of the land. You know, how God does it, that's up to God. There's different ways he can do it. And also, when there's a famine in the time of Avram, it could be that the people in Canaan weren't behaving well and there was a famine. So, you know, maybe that's why Avram had to go down to Egypt. Maybe he was supposed to go to Egypt because there's always food in Egypt because there's the Nile River there. But that's already, and we have to finish up because it's 7:30 already, but it's, we'll stop here. Next week we're going to get back to the Avot. I just wanted to focus on this theme of calling out in God's name, and we'll see the slow transition. from the flood story and the Migdal Bava story to the Avram stories, and then we can go a lot faster through the rest of Sefer Bereshit. That was just setting the stage for a mega thing. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Be well.
Bye bye.